and welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, ecology, stories from the land, recipes, nature, sustainability, interconnectedness, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
If you are at a Whole Foods store near you these days, you will see it everywhere, the Engine 2 Diet. Engine 2 as in Fire Engine 2. What? Yes, it's true. Today's show will explore how a team of firefighters in Austin, Texas, broke the diet conventions and is now better equipped to save lives. The Engine 2 Diet, that and more in today's hour here on An Organic Conversation.
Yeah, you know, when we decided to do this show, we've had Scott Urich on the show and we've had Forks Over Knives and we've talked about this. But this really gets me thinking that potentially a plant-based diet could really just become the norm in the American diet.
Yeah, Scott Urich, ultra marathoner, ultra distance runner, 100 plus miles several times a year. I believe world record holder for the 24-hour run in which he finished 167 miles, all on a completely vegan diet.
Yeah.
And the show, yes, the documentary, the show we had on the documentary, Forks Over Knives. Yeah, wonderful, interesting, plant-based diets.
Yeah, this type of work, I think there's a common belief that you need to have a high animal protein diet in order to do it. So looking at, you know, an ultramarathoner or today's guest, a firefighter, I'm really curious to find out what is it like to travel around this great country and break stereotypes left and right.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. Protein is always the big argument, but we will explore all that today. What's true about that?
Yeah, but first, here's the green headlines with Jen Lloyd.
Thank you, Mark. Board of Health approves soda ban. New York City's Board of Health approved Mayor Bloomberg's soda ban on September 13th, limiting the sale of large sugar-sweetened drinks within city limits. Drinks larger than 16 ounces will not be available for purchase in various outlets, excluding grocery stores, in an effort to combat obesity and encourage healthier lifestyles. In a tweet celebrating his victory, Bloomberg said, 6 months from today, our city will be an even healthier place. Affordable solar-powered air conditioner coming to market soon. Jamie Edens of South Carolina, along with King Tech Technologies, has built a prototype for an effective and affordable solar-powered air conditioner. With 5% of America's electricity being used for residential air conditioning, Edens was determined to make the move off the grid and for an affordable price. At only $2,895, the units will be available as soon as it is approved for its safety certification. New Delhi bans plastic bags. The Delhi cabinet recently approved a blanket ban on use, storage, sale, and manufacturing of plastic bags throughout India's capital city. The extensive ban will apply to all types of plastic sheets, bags, films, and storage packets, with medical waste as the only exempt items. The government has decided to enforce the ban through the Environment Protection Act, and violators could face up to 5 years in prison and a hefty fine of $2,200. And the Japanese Prime Minister says the nation will go nuclear-free. The Japanese government announced a long-term plan earlier this month, suggesting the country will end nuclear power by 2040. The new policy includes a 40-year cap for each plant's lifespan, phasing out all of the country's reactors by the late 2030s. The plan was unveiled in response to the public's outcry for zero nuclear dependence, and Prime Minister Yoshihiko Noda stated the country would invest $500 billion in renewable energy over the next 20 years. Before last year's meltdown at Fukushima, Japan depended on nuclear power for one-third of its electricity. And those are the green headlines. Back to you, Helge.
Thank you, Jen. That's Jen Lloyd for that weekly update of what's going on in the world of green living and sustainability. Wow, nuclear power, yes.
I know. We've been following this story for a few months now in our news bit, and I'm so excited to hear the impact that the people's outcry had on his decision, because this wasn't where he stood a few months ago.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, and Helge, this will ring familiar with you, is when we were protesting nuclear power at Diablo Canyon and different nuclear...
Or Germany.
Or in Germany, yeah, reactor sites. There was times where we thought, well, this is just going to continue on and we won't be making a difference. And in fact, we did, because after 1977, there hadn't been a nuclear power plant built in 30 years because of people
in the U.S. here
in the U.S. Mm-hmm. because of people saying what they needed to say and getting up and telling the government what we wanted.
Yeah, and it's important to stay on it because I just heard from Germany, who has declared kind of phasing out all nuclear power by 2020, that deadline is now being renegotiated and maybe pushed back. So it's so interesting that in the face of the crisis, anything goes, whatever needs to happen is put in place. And then 3 months later or, 6 months later, we forget and things kind of, at least in part, go back to the direction we were when we started before the crisis. And it's important that we stay on it. But yes, absolutely, our impact is critical.
And I think that a perfect example of that right now is the Proposition 37.
Oh, where so glad you bring that up. Yes.
All of our voices and all of our votes are so necessary to help, approve this in California so that because the rest of this nation is waiting for California to approve.
Yes, and there were two studies done that just came out in the last 4 weeks. One Stanford study shows that there's no difference between organic and non-organic foods that has kind of been thrown into the argument chain.
As far as nutritional quality.
That's right, as far as nutritional quality goes only, and that it just came out that study was in part funded, that laboratory at least, that portion of the scientific body, which was just a review study anyway, but was funded by the biotechnology companies and industry. At the same time, just a couple of weeks ago, a new study, the first long-term study of the consumption of GMO corn with laboratory animals, rats in this case, in France, was just concluded. And it showed massive and very, very disturbing tumor growth, specifically in female rats. So that will be a huge argument. Of course, in Europe, there's a GMO moratorium. France just renewed it. But yes on 37. And we will keep you, our listeners, updated on that. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And our topic today, of course, is healthy eating, from school lunches to the Engine 2 diet. Before we dive into what firefighters have kicked off in Austin, Texas, we will hear a quick update on the upcoming National Gleaning Day. It's fall and it's harvest season. And it's the time for the National School Lunch Gleaning Day. What's gleaning? One might ask, any food that does not meet the strict market requirements for size or color or look usually gets left in the field. The numbers of what we as a society throw away or don't harvest because of cosmetic challenges, even though it's perfectly fine food, ranges from 10 to 35%. And now a group in Marin County has found a way to make use of this food and bring awareness of this waste of perfectly fine resources. With us now, calling in from Lagunitas, California, is Scott Davidson, the head gleaner for Marin Organic, a powerful little nonprofit in Marin County, California, with an update on the upcoming National Gleaning Day. Scott, are you with us?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Scott. Welcome.
Thanks for joining us today. Yeah, I know you have your hands full as the third National Gleaning Day. It's on its way. How many years have you been doing this?
This is the third annual National Gleaning Day, and this year it's going to be on September 30th, 2012, and then the whole week following into October.
Let's start with gleaning itself. What has Marin Organic been leading the charge with in the past? There was an organic school lunch program heavily based on gleaning. Can you explain to our listeners the concept of gleaning and just give us a picture of what that little county has been able to accomplish?
Yeah, certainly. So gleaning is a word that isn't so commonly used these days, but it's kind of making its own little comeback. You can find gleaning in the Bible and Leviticus and in the Book of Ruth, and it's basically this old instruction for farmers to leave the corners of the field for those that are traveling and those that need it most. And today it's really just, an opportunity to really recognize where the waste stream is and how much of that extra food can actually be put to better use. Because there are, there's incredible food here in Marin County and throughout California and in different pockets of the world. There's incredible excess. Lots of organic farms here in Marin County and in the Bay Area. And the great irony is that a lot of that food, even though it's the best of the best, still goes to waste.
Because in your case, we are talking about certified organic food. In other cases, it may be organic or not. But we're talking only because of slight cosmetic blemishes. This is not exposed or expired food or in any way rotten or challenged in its safety. This is perfectly fine, freshly harvested organic food that simply doesn't meet the market requirements and often gets plowed under as organic matter. Is that,
Sometimes,
correct?
You know, when for some people who think about gleaning or seconds, you know, we think about the terribly bruised tomato or something. But really, if you go to any grocery store and you look at the zucchini, you know, the produce aisle, and zucchinis are all exactly the same diameter and perfectly straight. And the truth is that nature doesn't always grow that way.
oh, really?
Yeah, tell me about it.
There's a lot of food that farmers just don't harvest because it's not, they're harvesting to the market oftentimes because they have to in order to pay their bills.
Sure.
So there's always extra when you know where to look for it. And this gleaning project for Marin Organic, you know, 8-9 years ago, really started with a farm tour and seeing how much of the food was being left in the field and not being harvested. And that became an opportunity for local food service directors at public schools to actually come out and rally their community to harvest some of that food for themselves for their own school lunch program. 8 years or so, we've been coordinating this farm-to-school, school-to-farm kind of effort that really intimately connects schools to farms so they can actually have access to locally grown certified organic food for free.
So what does it mean to have a National Gleaning Day now? What is the impact? I mean, you guys have been doing this in Marin County for, you said, 3 years, right?
National Gleaning Day has been going for three. This is the third year, but Marin Organic has been coordinating gleanings for about 8 or 9 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and what that means, you know, in terms of a National Gleaning Day is that, you know, I think we all have some experience with Earth Day. You know, it's a little bit more inspirational or motivating to go out and clean the beach on Earth Day, or to have a picnic and celebrate the season on the earth, you know, and there's a tremendous power in unifying any movement. But, you know, it almost doesn't matter what kind of movement or cause we're talking about. And in this case, there are people who are terribly hungry that don't have access to quality food. And there, at the same time, there are gleaners, there are community organizations across the country, probably 1,000 of them, that are gleaning throughout the year and giving food to church food banks and school lunch programs, and there's tremendous power in unifying them under one great event. So part of the intention with National Gleaning Day is to simply unify and bring attention to all the different community gleaners across the country and put them on the website, which is nationalgleaningday.org. There's a Google map there, and there's a gleaners toolkit with some resources that you can use to help organize the local event. So there's, you know, it's really a unifier and an opportunity to celebrate all of the different efforts across the country that are actually putting a lot of that food to good use.
Tell us the website again one more time.
Yeah, it's nationalgleaningday.org. If you Google search it, it's easy to find, or if you can just type it in as a URL. And there's a whole set of resources there in terms of, a toolkit that includes, you know, release forms and you know, different events, flyers that you can make your own, and a gleaner's checklist to really help ease the communications between the farmers or the grocery store, if that's what you're gleaning from.
Fantastic.
And it's fantastic. It's a website is really simple, and it's really empowering and effective at giving anybody who has interest in gleaning from a farm or from a backyard garden, you know, giving anybody the resources that they need to make it really easy.
That's great.
It doesn't take that much work to coordinate these things, but, you know, we've learned a lot over the years of our gleaning, and we really want to share those learnings, you know. And so if you want to learn about Marin Organic gleaning efforts, you can go to marinorganic.org, www.marinorganic.org. And for the National Gleaning effort, it's simply nationalgleaningday.org.
And, Scott, before we go, could you just give us an idea of the impact of, you know, how much you could actually get off of a few farms, how much food that would produce, or, you know, the impact that, that we could really see by doing some of this gleaning?
Yeah, that's great. So just earlier this week, we were actually at a farm in Bolinas, and we invited the community, as we always do, and there were about 25 people that came on that particular day, and 5 or 6 kids. And we were there for just maybe an hour and a half in the field gleaning for that period of time. you know, the kids were treasure hunting for broccoli heads, you know, under the big leaves, and a lot of us were harvesting greens and zucchini, and it was just a big harvest party for just 90 minutes, you know, and at the end of that 90 minutes, we had 18 or 19 boxes of food, and it was this incredible, like, it was just this mountain of food after an hour and a half of having fun and connecting with the soil and getting to know each other while we were harvesting extra food for the community.
And all that was free.
We followed that up with a potluck, which is just a whole new way of just settling in and sharing. You know, it makes sense to, you know, after harvesting some food together in community, it makes so much sense to just settle down and have a meal and you know, share a blessing before the meal and just really celebrate the harvest in that way too. So
yes, and the farmers let
one,
you...
One little picture, you know, into what we do every week. And there are people like that across the country that are gleaning every week as well. So
that's great. And the farmers open the farms for you and let you go onto the field because there's no other economic use for this food, which comes free to you with just some community power.
It's no small thing for a farmer to invite strangers to their field to harvest food. You know, there's a risk there. But we've really gotten to know the farmers well, and they trust us. And the same is being done across the country. People have really built relationships with gardeners and farmers in their own neighborhoods. And when that relationship is really authentic and strong, then there's trust. And then they feel really comfortable inviting you onto their farm and telling you exactly what's extra.
Yes, it's all about relationship. And that's Scott Davidson, exactly. The head gleaner for Marin Organic, who is orchestrating the gleaning efforts in Marin County. That's marinorganic.org. And also for the upcoming National Gleaning Day, you said, Scott, it's September 30th. Did I get that right?
That's right. September 30th, 2012 is the day, and then it's actually every day for the week following.
So for the years following, that's nationalgleaningday.org to find more information and to be part of that national gleaning effort, nationalgleaningday.org. Scott, thanks so much for your work and for that update, and good luck with your event. National event on September 30th. Thanks for joining us today.
We'll see you out there.
Yeah,
thanks.
Scott, maybe you might want to consider singing glean.
Very nice, Mark. Thanks, Scott. Thanks for joining us. What a great program. You're listening to Mark Mulcahy singing and to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
Yeah, and we got that.
And we will continue with great stories about healthy food. Coming up is our conversation about the Engine 2 diet, as in Fire Engine 2, saving lives to save lives. Only here on An Organic Conversation, our interview with Rip Esselstein. More on that when we come back. Stay tuned. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
We had a wonderful show a few weeks back on the documentary Forks Over Knives, which explores the relationship between an animal-based diet of meat and dairy and today's common diseases, and the alternative of a plant-based vegan diet. Today, we are following up on this topic with a group of firefighters in Austin, Texas, who changed the unit's diet to a vegan one in order to save lives, others, and their own. The Engine 2 diet, now featured in Whole Foods stores all over the country, is today's topic here on An Organic Conversation. And with us now, calling in from Austin, Texas, is the gentleman who introduced the idea of a diet change to his fellow squad members, Rip Esselstein. Rip, are you with us today?
I am with you. I'm all in. I'm all yours.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We saw Forks Over Knives and heard your story, and it is an incredible story. From now a cookbook seeing you at Whole Foods markets across the country. Walk us through your journey. You were a professional firefighter. In fact, you are a professional firefighter still. What happened and what changes were implemented based on what need that you saw?
Well, let me start by saying that I'm actually no longer a professional firefighter. I actually retired just about 3 years ago when I got this opportunity to partner with Whole Foods Market as part of their healthy eating initiative. But the Engine 2 diet, let me tell you first kind of, you know, what it is and what it's not. And I would not say that it's so much a vegan diet, although it is plant-based, but it's basically it's a vegan diet with gusto. And the reason I say that is that, you know, you can be on a vegan diet and it's not necessarily a health promoting one. Veganism is almost more of an ideology. and you're not doing it for health reasons. And Engine 2 was all about health. That's how it started. That was the foundation for it and what it continues to be.
Can you walk us through the history of what, I know you have some family ties to Forks Over Knives.
Yeah,
and the content there. But what, you were a firefighter. What happened?
Well, let me backtrack just for a sec. So, yeah, I had almost like an 11-year career as a professional triathlete, where I went gallivanting all over the globe. Then, when it was time to get a real job, I became a firefighter. The thought of a 9-to-5 desk job was just excruciating for me, and the thought of, you know, no two shifts ever being the same, helping people, saving lives, you know, getting to go code 3, running the burning buildings, it had a certain appeal to me, especially after stepping up to starting lines for over a decade and, you know, the gun going off and, you know, my adrenaline racing. So this gave me that same kind of adrenaline rush and just adventure.
Diversity, yes.
Yeah, and diversity of calls and all that. But so, you know, firefighters, I can tell you right now, they eat the worst diets in the world. Absolutely. The most horrendous diets on the planet. And the way it started, it and why it's called Engine 2 is because the genesis of the whole, this whole movement started at Firehouse Number 2 at 506 West MLK in Austin, Texas, about 3 blocks from the University of Texas at Austin. And we had the equivalent of a little bar bet to see who had the lowest cholesterol level while we were sitting out on the porch one evening. And so the next day we drove to a lab. We got pricked. The results came back, and one of my fellow firefighters, his cholesterol came back, and it was 344 milligrams per deciliter. And most Americans have a cholesterol between 200 and 220, and most Americans will die of heart disease. So this one firefighter at the age of 33 with a cholesterol of 344 and a horrendous family history of men keeling over from heart disease, all of a sudden his jaw hit the ground, and he was ready to do something about it. All the other guys at the fire station were ready to support him, and I was ready to help lead the charge. And so we got some phenomenal results in less than a month. I mean, you know, this one guy and some of the other guys at the station kind of reversed themselves from being medical time bombs to being, you know, healthy superheroes. And then the local paper did an article on what we were doing. It called, you know, Tofu Out Muscles Red Meat at Firehouse Number 2. And then NPR did a national broadcast, and the New York Times did a great piece. And then I was solicited by a bunch of people to write a book. And I was like, well, I know what the title is. It's, you know, it's Engine 2. Hmm. I didn't know if it was going to be diet or not, but I just knew Engine 2 had to be in the name. And I kind of hesitant to use the word diet because this is really more of a lifestyle than it is a diet. You know, when you think of a diet, you think of something that's short term and you start and you stop. And,
sure.
But this is definitely something that I want people to do long term. And, you know, the subtitle for the book is the 28-Day Save Your Life Challenge. And that's because I want people to try it for 28 days and then experience all the health benefits. And then my hope is that forever they will have a newfound relationship and awareness with food.
And you were saying that the results were stunning. What did you change? What did you change in those 28 days? And when you say it's a horrible diet, that firefighters at large eat, at least here in this country. What does that mean? What was your diet like, and what did you change from day one of 28 on?
Good question. So let me tell you, the four major food groups of the Texas firefighter, and these are probably not much different, you know, throughout the country. You got cheeseburgers with bacon on white bread lathered with mayonnaise. You've got double cheese, pepperoni, ham, bologna, you name it, pizzas. They're just, you know, triple meat pizzas with double cheese. And then you've got beef fajitas and you got Bluebell ice cream. No joke.
Well, and is that because for firefighters, when everything has to do with timing, because you never know when you're going to get a call, you have to think about something that's quick and convenient?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, yes and no. Let me say yes and no, because a lot of times we'll start cooking something, and then if we get a call, you know, we're gone for 30 minutes or an hour, and then we come back, unless it's a raging fire, and then we're gone for, you know, 5 or 6 hours. But you know what? One of the great things about being a firefighter is you have access to the kitchen. You're there for 24 hours. And so we didn't hesitate about kind of diving in and making these delicious, amazing, plant-strong meals. So what I did is I just took the four major food groups of the Texas firefighter and we just plant-strongified them. So we did healthy burgers made from black beans and oatmeal made from brown rice and lentils, portobello mushroom burgers, kidney beans and sweet potato burgers. I mean, whole grain crust with salsa and caramelized onions and mushrooms. I mean, we became foodies at Fire Station too.
Sounds like it. I want to come. Is there now a place where people
lunch?
Actually
come on down? We did cheeseless pizzas. We made our own. We rolled our own whole grain crust. We made our own marinara sauces, and then we would lay out all the different toppings from sun-dried tomatoes to roasted corn, to onions, to bell peppers, to black beans, and then to the standard, you know, bell peppers. But, I mean, we got real. And then we also did portobello mushroom fajitas. We did all kinds of casseroles, lasagnas, delicious desserts. Instead of doing, you know, normal cow ice cream, we would just take bananas and we'd freeze them up, throw in a little cocoa powder, and we'd have banana chocolate, you know, soft serve ice cream. So, yeah, it was awesome.
And that's Rip Esselstyn. Yeah, Mark.
Well, I'm listening to this and I'm remembering.
Salivating.
Yeah, well, besides that, yes, I just booked my ticket. besides that, I'm thinking, okay, the transformation, okay, yes, you had motivation. This guy had a cholesterol over 300. You all decided to join in on this. But that's, okay, it's great when you in belief, where you go, yes, we're doing this and we're doing it together. And then there's the first day that you make someone a bean burger instead of a double beef bacon cheeseburger. What did it take? Was it a couple weeks? Was it a month for these guys to really kind of embrace this diet? I mean, or is it the very first day because you're just such an amazing cook?
No, actually, let me say that I wasn't the best cook there. A lot of these guys were amazing cooks. JR, Scotty Walters, Josh, these guys were pretty amazing. And we just took turns cooking. So it wasn't like I was the one that cooked every shift. We took turns going to the grocery store, coming, you know, deciding what the meals were going to be, and then everybody would pitch in. But and let me tell you that, you know, of the six guys at the station, four of the guys I had worked with for the previous 5 years at a different fire station, and then we all moved to Fire Station 2 together. And these guys had seen me eating this way for, you know, 5 years. Occasionally they'd eat with me. But after this scare that we had with JR, I mean, it was like overnight, these guys, you know, they were in. I mean, and then they knew about my father's research at the Cleveland Clinic for over 20 years. They saw me as a world-class triathlete, fueling myself this way. And so it just, you know, everything aligned. We had a great confluence of factors. And so it wasn't like we had a break-in period. We hit the ground running.
And we do want to hear about your father's fantastic work that kind of paved the way and how you were able to break stereotypes and what it has done now. That's Rip Esselstyn, the founder and author of the Engine 2 diet, now at Whole Foods stores and many other outlets throughout the country. Great book, engine2diet.com, for more information. Rip, stay with us. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with more. I'm wide awake.
Earl's Organic Produce is the only 100% organic wholesaler in the San Francisco produce market. We are proud to offer a unique limited edition organic heirloom salsa made with the most flavorful heirloom tomatoes and offered only during the prime time of the heirloom season. Our tomatoes are sourced exclusively from Tutti Frutti Farms in Lompoc, California. Look for it now at local retailers in the San Francisco Bay Area. Follow us on Facebook, Earl's Organic.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Do you have a passion for healing through healthful organic food? Become an expert in nutrition, the prevention of illness, and the promotion of optimal health. The Bowman College Distance Learning Program is a convenient, self-paced program that prepares you for a successful career as a nutrition consultant in your own home, on your own time, in a way that's organic to you. Start on your path to holistic health today with the Bowman College Distance Learning Program. Find out more at bowmancollege.org. That's BAUMANcollege.org.
The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And still with us is Rip Esselstyn from Austin, Texas, former firefighter and the founder of the Engine 2 Diet, which is now in Whole Foods stores all over the country. Amazing story, and we'll dive back into that interview in just a minute. But first, here's our weekly produce tip with our very own produce expert, Mark Mulcahy. What's in season, Mark?
Yes, and what's in season today? We've got Earl Herrick, the voice of the market from Earl's Organic Produce in San Francisco, on the line with us. And today we're talking about Asian pears. Now, Earl, I've got a question for you. Is it a pear or is it an apple or what is it?
What the heck is it? Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing great. How are you, Earl?
We're doing great.
Wonderful to hear. Well, you know, it's a great question because it is on a lot of people's minds this time of year because, you know, we're in the middle of the harvest. And, yeah, it's shaped like an apple, many of them. They're round and they're crisp, but they're pears. They're just different than the kind that we normally would associate what is normally called a European pear, which is a Bartlett or a Comice. So, yeah, the Asian pear, also known as a salad pear or even an apple pear, is grown almost, in, at least in the United States, almost exclusively on the West Coast, with great production from about the middle of California all the way up into Oregon and Washington. And like I alluded to, the harvest happens about mid-July all the way through September into October, and looks like we're going to have a real good year. The what makes a good year is we had above average warm, hot summer, you know, probably a good 10 or 12 days above 100 than normal, and we're still getting the cool nights. So the warm days create the sugar, and the cool nights create the color.
Real nice. Okay.
Well, that's why they're grown here, right?
Right.
And what I've seen is the most popular Asian pears are the ones that are large.
Okay.
And the way you get that is by thinning the trees. And that's a process, it's a hand process. There's no way to do it without thinning by hand. Well, there may be some chemicals that some people may use, but organically, it's strictly a hand process. So very labor intensive. And that's a process that you either do right after blossoms or right after the fruit sets, where you go by hand and you're taking off everything but one little unit, one little small piece of fruit that's obviously going to develop into the Asian pear.
And is that so that the tree will just put its energy into those fewer fruits, and that way they can get bigger?
Absolutely, and also it's for the health of the tree, because these, as they get bigger, you're going to break a limb if you have more than two or three on a limb.
Oh, okay.
So you're thinning for the to get the big size, and you're also thinning to eliminate the others for better flavor and for the health of the tree to so the limbs don't break. And many times, what you may see it during certain times of year, driving by orchards where you have these posts or sticks that are propped up under branches that hold them up, because the burden of the fruit is so great. Without that protection, they're gonna crack and break.
Oh wow, yeah. So I can see why they'd have to do it. And plus, you're gonna get bigger fruit then.
Yeah.
And that's what people like. Then it's also helpful in the marketplace too. Yeah.
And you know, also it takes about an hour a tree to do this sort of pruning. So you know, that's a huge cost. So that's why we never really see Asian pears being particularly inexpensive. But I'll tell you, for a lot of people, they prefer them, because with that European Bartlett Comice type, you have to buy them and wait till they ripen. Mm-hmm. Where an Asian pear, they're ready to eat.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Sometimes in the early season, I think that they can get a few days. But yeah, you're right.
Generally speaking, they shouldn't be, you know, these guys, the growers should be waiting where the sugars are there between 12 or 13% and higher, and they're pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that is fantastic information. Thank you so much. And so we'll probably see him for like through the month of October and into November type of thing.
Well, yeah, you know, the fresh harvest is going to go on through September, and then right now, for example, they store really well for a couple months, no problem.
Okay.
And is the price good?
The price is good, you know, relatively speaking, because the supply is real steady. We've seen in the last 10, 20 years an increase that could be in part of the diversification of our population, but also I think people are just now, in the last 5, 10 years, a little more familiar with that. Answering that question that we posed early on, what exactly is
mm-hmm. That's right. Right, that's right. Well, that's great, Earl. So thank you so much.
You, Earl.
Earl Watson, yep. Season, the voice of the market from Earl's Organic and Produce in San Francisco. Thanks, Earl. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great talking to
okay.
you.
Okay, bye-bye. So just a couple quick things. What a great report, Earl.
That was so great.
Yeah, yeah. It's always great, yeah. But it was very fascinating. I found myself kind of drifting away, thinking about all the things he was talking about. When you go to the store and buy Asian pears, you see that they're either yellow or they have a brownish color, and there are several different varieties. They aren't just a brown or a yellow Asian pear. You should ask the name, because there are names like 20th Century and Hoshui and Kochuro and Shinseki, and they all have completely different flavors. And so you may not like one, but I guarantee you're probably going to find one you like. Because some are more sweet, some are more nutty, some are more refreshing. So please try a few of them and find out their name. You will be glad you did. So their season is short. They will hold up for a couple months, but between now and about December, maybe January, is when you're really going to be getting them. So you should go get them right now and enjoy them. You want to make sure that they're firm but not too hard. You want to make sure that as the color turns more gold, they should have just a slight give when pressed, and that's when they're really ripe and ready to eat. And they'll last about 2 weeks out of the fridge and about 4 weeks in your fridge, so it's a piece of fruit you can take home and keep for a while. And lastly, they contain a type of sugar that's called levulose, and if you are diabetic and you struggle with different types of sugar, one of the great things is it's a sugar preferable to glucose, and so it might be a piece of fruit that you might be able to enjoy more often. So that's what's in season. Those are Asian pears, and back to you, Helga.
Thank you, Mark. Fascinating stuff, indeed. The price is right. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sita Rani Palomar.
And we are doing a follow-up on our wonderful show a few weeks back on the documentary Forks Over Knives, which explores the relationship between an animal-based diet of meat and dairy and today's common diseases and the alternative of a plant-based vegan diet. And the person who brought this to his fellow firefighters is with us today, Rip Esselstyn, a known professional, former professional triathlete, one of the world's top, in fact, all on a vegan plant-based diet, brought this to his firefighter unit as a professional firefighter. And out of it came the Engine 2 diet, now featured at Whole Foods stores throughout the country. Rip was sharing with us how it started by having one of his firefighter colleagues do a cholesterol test, which came up over 350. And within 28 days of a plant-based diet, they were able to reverse that for the entire squad. Rip, we were looking at breaking the cycle of what commonly is eaten or was eaten in your firefighter engine number two in Austin, Texas, but really throughout the country. How did this start for you? You brought the idea up and everyone was in, but you kind of have been part of the plant-based work because of your father's influence for many, many years. Can you talk about that?
No, my father has been the greatest influence on me when it comes to eating this way. And I grew up in a family where we ate anything and everything except for my parents never allowed white bread or soda pop in the house. But that all changed in 1984 when my father started his research at the Cleveland Clinic to show that you can not only halt but reverse heart disease. And so he and my mom started eating this way in 1984. I was at college, so I would come home for spring break and Christmas break and a little bit to the summertime, and I would get exposed to it, and I was completely supportive of it. I got to see my mom, you know, completely tinker with all these new recipes over the course of several years. And everybody absolutely, you know, we weren't rebellious. We were very supportive and encouraging of what my mother and my father were doing. And and so then when I graduated from University of Texas and I was able to get off the athletic training table of you know, steaks and pizza and burgers and eggs and bacon, I started eating this way 100% back in 1987, but obviously 100% because of my father and his research.
So, Rip, you were talking about earlier the dramatic effects that this had. I mean, everybody in your squad got on board, and you guys saw some pretty remarkable changes in health. And for me, one of the things that's so compelling about this is that the Engine 2 initiative is really breaking stereotypes that strong men need lots of animal protein in order to maintain their muscle mass and their stamina.
Yeah.
But I'm curious if you can tell us some of your observations about what happened with your squad. Like, how did the fitness level change when they adopted this way of living?
Well, let me say that, you know, we started eating this way back in about 2004, 2005, and we continued it up until 2009 when I basically retired. And we got a whole new slew of firefighters on board. And the funny thing was, when somebody retired or somebody promoted and went to another station, we actually had a lineup of firefighters that were interviewing to come to station two.
Wow.
They knew that we were the plant strong station. They knew that we also valued exercise, and we did PT or physical training at least 1 hour every shift. But people wanted to be part of that culture, of a culture that embraced healthy living and healthy eating, because it's not ubiquitous. It's not out there in fire stations for the most part. And, you know, I just found out something very interesting. A study just came out about 3 months ago, and it showed that 88% of firefighters, paid and volunteered across the United States, are either overweight or obese. And
wow.
So it's really, and you know, I talk about this in Forks Over Knives, but the number one killer of firefighters in the line of duty is a death by heart attack. It's not like smoke inhalation or getting burned up or having a roof collapse or
you know, getting in a car accident. It mm-hmm. is having a heart attack, because these firefighters, they eat so awfully. They typically gain so much weight while they're at the firehouse, whether it's a combination of the wrong food, nerves, sleep deprivation. It's just it's a really awful environment to be healthy. But, you know, they basically, their arteries give up the ghost when they need it the most, and when your team needs you the most. So at Fire Station 2, you know, JR's cholesterol in about 3.5 weeks came down from 344 milligrams per deciliter down to 198, 148
wow.
points.
Oh, my gosh.
JR dropped just about 16 pounds. Most of the guys dropped on average between 10 to 20 pounds, but blood pressures came down to and normalized. And it's really remarkable how quickly the human body can start to
that
heal itself.
That is amazing.
When you take away all the contraband and all the stuff that's not allowing it to be healthy, and then you remove that and you only are putting in mm-hmm. health-promoting sure. whole plant-based foods that have plant-friendly protein, complex carbohydrates, healthy fats, all the vitamins and minerals, phytochemicals, antioxidants, water, fiber, and a lot of the stuff that's sorely missing in animal products. So,
sure.
Right.
Yeah, so it was tremendous. And, you know, why you got me talking about this, I just want to share a story with you. I was just in Sarasota, Florida, and I met with Sarasota Fire Department Station Number 2. And this guy named Patrick Donovan told me that he'd lost 111 pounds following the Engine 2 diet in the last year. I said, that's remarkable. Oh, and he said, yeah, my whole life I've been overweight. And, you know, I tried every diet under the sun. I'd lost 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds, but I'd always gain it back. And then I saw the movie Forks Over Knives, and I found your book. And as a firefighter, it resonated with me. And what I did the day that I got your book, I got a size pants with 34 waist, and I put them on the chair next to my bed. So every night before I went to bed, I would see those pants. And every morning when I woke up, I would see those pants. And I would tell myself, I don't know how I'm going to get into those pants, but one day I'm going to. And he told me a year later, he couldn't fit into the 34s because they were too big.
Now
wow. Like 32.
So oh,
he went
my God.
260 pounds down to his freshman high school weight
oh
of 148 pounds. He's 5'7". So anyway, it's just, you know, and I get stories like this all day long. And then this guy named Nick Ravigna from South Metro Fire Department in California, in Colorado. He basically was the fittest guy in the department. He had a heart attack at work, basically was dead. They brought him back to life after having to shock him 18 times. And then he found Engine 2, and his cholesterol's come down to like under 100. He's leaner than he's ever been. He's, you know, he's now empowered with the knowledge that he's in control of his health destiny, and it's not just this crazy, you know, roulette wheel.
And we are talking with Rip Esselstein, the founder and author of the Engine 2 Diet, joining us today from Austin, Texas. Rip, we want you to guide us through the 28 days. We don't have much time left, but it's important that people get the resources. I know you have a new book coming as well.
Yeah.
Stay with us. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Stay tuned.
That you're here with me, I want to keep you free.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you a chef, have a catering business, or planning a party, or simply just love organic produce? If you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, walk right in to Earl's Organic Produce. Anyone can buy directly from us at wholesale prices. You don't have to be a natural food store to enjoy the freshest and most delicious organic produce. We are located on the San Francisco Produce Market at 2101 Gerald Avenue. We look forward to seeing you.
Walk-in hours are Monday through Friday throughout the night from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. Minimum purchase is one box or flat, cash or checks only. For more information, visit earlsorganic.com.
Are you interested in making healthy food your profession? Bowman College is a leader in the field of holistic nutrition and culinary arts. Their professional training programs prepare individuals for successful careers as nutrition consultants and natural chefs. Study at one of four locations in California and Colorado, or learn from home in a self-paced mentor distance learning program. Find out more about their classes on holistic nutrition and culinary arts at BowmanCollege.org. That's B-A-U-M-A-N College.org.
Do you feel run down, stressed, overweight, or overloaded? Urban Remedy is a delicious 100% organic juice cleansing program designed to jumpstart your body's natural healing and cleansing abilities. This delicious juice feast, created by leading acupuncturist Nika Pasquale, is rich in vital nutrients, minerals, and enzymes, providing you with all the nutritional nourishment you need to thrive. Delivered directly to your doorstep. Urban Remedy, a convenient way to boost your energy and balance your body. Place your order today at UrbanRemedy.com. That's UrbanRemedy.com. The Farmer Veteran Coalition is a nonprofit organization dedicated to provide veterans with resources, education, and technical assistance to prepare them to become successful farmers. After serving their country, many veterans are interested in working with the land but do not have a background in farming or ranching. Help the Farmer Veteran Coalition to assist veterans in starting a new career in sustainable agriculture. For more information, please visit farmvetco.org. That's farmvetco.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
And our topic today is healthy diet, a plant-based diet. We're talking with Rip Esselstyn, the founder and author of the Engine 2 diet, Engine 2 as in Fire Engine 2. Amazing story. And we will hear more about the 28-day challenge that Rip is challenging us with in just a second. But here is first our very own Chef Sita, Sitarani Palomar, with her holistic bite.
Thank you, Helga. Well, our friends at Ecobella Organic Beauty sent out a newsletter recently about lip and eye color for subtle impact. And it got me thinking about the concept of less is more. And reflecting on some of the most strikingly beautiful sights and activities reminded me that simple elegance is what really feels most harmonious with nature. It's about understated elegance and not overindulging. So the Holistic Bite this week is a reminder to be present to how much beauty and nourishment you can experience with each look and each bite. Dr. Ed Bowman, who is a holistic nutrition educator and also two-time guest on our show, says that we are a culture that regularly eats to 110% full. But imagine if we instead ate to just 90% full, and we would reap dramatic health benefits, more energy, better disease prevention. And I find that when I'm more present to my food, and it's really those first few bites that taste the best, I don't need to eat to that uncomfortable fullness that I'm so accustomed to doing when I'm not paying attention. So a reminder to all of you out there that less is more with what you're eating as well, and you have more possibility for happiness, for peace, and to share that food with others.
Oh, thank you. That was Chef Sita, Sitarani Palomar, and the Holistic Bite, as always, was brought to you by Ecobella. I love that topic, actually. Everything you need and nothing you don't. From anti-aging, anti-blemish skincare with organic ingredients and vitamin cells to flower color makeup with flower wax. Visit ecobella.com and see the range of amazing skincare and beauty products. Ecobella.com for our listeners. Check it out. Wonderful, wonderful products. Everything you need and nothing you don't. You're listening to an organic conversation. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And I'm Sitarani Palomar.
Nice break there. And our topic today is a vegan plant-based diet. Very much aligned with what Sita was just saying. With us is Rip Esselstyn, the founder and author of the Engine 2 diet, Fire Engine 2, radically changing their diet plan from a very questionable, unhealthy diet of high animal products to within 28 days changing really the lives of the crew members on a plant-based diet. Rip, saving the lives to save lives is the subtitle of today's show. Can you guide us through the 28-day challenge that you came up with, that you created? What does that entail?
It's an adventure in healthy eating is what it is. And for the most part, what we're trying to do is get rid of all the basically unhealthy food that we have in our diet. So first and foremost, we're getting rid of all the dairy. Dairy is the most ubiquitous thing in the American diet, whether it's yogurt, cheese, ice cream, milk. It has some of the most saturated fat in our diets, cholesterol, unhealthy animal protein, specifically casein, C-A-S-E-I-N, and so, which is a huge tumor and cancer promoter. So we're removing all the dairy for 28 days. We're also eliminating all the meat. That includes red meat. It includes chicken that has just as much cholesterol as red meat. A lot of people are doubling down on chicken, thinking it's healthier than red meat. The reality is it's not. And then, of course, we're also removing fish that has, in many cases, more cholesterol than either red meat or chicken. And it also is, you know, carrying all kinds of pollutants. And there's better ways of getting our omega-3 fatty acids from plant-based foods. And we're also removing all extracted oils that aren't a whole food source. So we're removing olive oil, canola oil, all those things that are 120 calories per tablespoon, the most calorie-dense product on the planet. And even olive oil is 15% saturated fat and doesn't have one vitamin or mineral to speak of. So it's not healthy, and most Americans think it is. What we're doing, we're substituting it with fruits, vegetables, whole grains, beans, some nuts and seeds. And this way we're, as I said earlier on the show, we're getting everything we need in the form of protein, carbohydrates, fats, antioxidants, phytochemicals, fiber, water. We're just basically, we are flushing our body of all the nonsense, and we are just letting it flood with all these fantastic things. And in 28 days, it's remarkable what happens, from gastrointestinal distress, cholesterol, weight loss, IBS, acid reflux, headaches, energy, sleep, all that stuff. And so I'm telling you, if you're thinking about it, do it.
Yes, and if somebody is inspired to follow that diet, that 28-day challenge, or ongoingly, what are the resources? Of course, there's the website Engine2Diet. That's Engine and then the number 2diet.com. You also have a new book coming up. Is Engine2Diet.com really the best source for all the information?
Yeah, Engine2.com. We have Engine2Diet on Facebook. We have close to 45,000 people following us there. We've got Pinterest. We've also got Twitter. We have a new support website called Engine2Extra.com that does a deeper dive into people that want to live this lifestyle and have questions and need answers. We have individualized coaching. We have all kinds of different groups. It's really a fantastic website. And then I have the Engine 2 product line that's coming out of all Whole Food markets across the country.
Yes.
Starting in October. And so this will be a way of making it easier, more convenient, and more accessible for people that basically follow this lifestyle. And then I have a new book coming out in April of 2013 called My Beef with Meat.
Yes, and we'll have you back with that book next year for sure when that's coming out. Thank you so much, Rip. Again, that website is engine2diet.com or engine2extra.com. That's Rip Esselstyn, the founder and author of the Engine 2 Diet. Fantastic work. Thanks for keeping our firefighters healthy throughout the country. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks, man. Go Plant Strong.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Rev.
And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation.
An Organic Conversation is a production of the Organic Media Network. Associate producer Kristen Ponger, studio engineer Robert Costa, news services Jen Lloyd, underwriting production Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all.
If you missed parts of this show or for any other episode, visit iTunes or anorganicconversation.com.
You can also follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/anorganicconversation. We are your hosts, Helga Hellberg,
Mark Mulcahy,
and Sita Rani Palomar.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time next week. See you then.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I have been told that salvation lets their wings unfold. So when I'm lying in my bed, thoughts running through my head, and I feel that love is dead, I'm loving angels instead. And through it